So tonight's shiur is being dedicated, sponsored by Even Harry Weiser to commemorate the yahrzeit of Harry's sister, Sarah Chana Bas Rav Uri, whose yahrzeit was on Chaf Ches Kislev, which was yesterday. Tonight's Chaf Tes. So yesterday was Chaf Ches, her yahrzeit was yesterday. Her neshama should have an aliyah. Thank you for the sponsorship. Okay, so Shmuel Aleph Perek Yudalib. We learned last week about the positioning of Shaul and his army and the Plishti army and the people of Shaul's army, getting scared and fleeing and hiding. And Shaul, of course, Shaul's mistake in Perek Yud Gimel. So Perek Yud Dalet is the beginning of the battle, the beginning of the battle. So says the Navi in Pasuk Aleph, Vayihi Hayom, and it was on that day, and we'll talk about in a minute what that day is. Vayomer Yonasan ben Shaul el Hanar no Sechelov. So Yonasan, the son of Shaul, turns to the young man who's carrying his weapons. Lachav Enabra el Matzav Plishtim, Asher Me'ever Halos. Let's go and cross over to where the Plishti camp is, which is on the other side over there. Ula Aviv lo higid. And he didn't tell his father what he was doing. Very interesting. So this is the second time that we find Yonasan taking initiative and, making a move here. If you remember, the very, very beginning of this whole story with the Plishtim was Yonasan attacking the Plishtim. Right? That was how the whole fight started. And now we have Yonasan again, doing something. It's not clear what he's doing. Right now he's just telling his assistant, I want to go cross over there. So the Malbim says that the Plishtim had moved to Michmas, which was to the north of Geva. Shaul and Yonasan were to the south of Geva. So Shaul and Yonasan are to the south of Geva. Geva was a city. And the Plishtim were to the north of Geva at Michmas. Now Yonasan wanted, says the Malbim, it's not clear exactly what he wanted, but he wanted a better view. He wanted to be, to see what was going on in the Plishti camp. So Yonasan wanted to cross to the north side of Geva so he could be opposite the Plishti camp. That's essentially what Yonasan wanted right here. He did not intend to go to battle yet. He wasn't attacking. He wasn't going to fight. And that's why it says the Malbim, the Pasuk concludes, L'aviv lo higid. He didn't tell Shaul anything because he was just going to scout things out. He was just going to see what was going on. He did not want to fight. This was not a preemptive strike. This was nothing. This was just a scouting mission, really. Yonasan and his assistant went to go scout, and that was it. Pasuk Beis, v'Shaul yoshev b'ktzeh ha'giva tachas harimon asher b'migro. So Shaul was stationed or settled at the edge of Giva, which again is to the south side of Geva, towards Migron. Okay, he says Tachas Harimon. He was under a pomegranate tree, which was in this place called Migron, which was to the south of Geva. And the people, the soldiers that were with him, were about 600 men. Now, the Radak, all the Mefarshim here, raised the question: why are we repeating the fact that there were 600 men with Shaul? We already said that there were 600 men with Shaul. If you remember back in Perek Yud Gimel, in the last parak in Pasuk Tesvav, there the Navi says that there were 600. Excuse me, that there were 600 men with Shaul. So why are we repeating now that there were 600 men with Shaul? We know this already. So the Radak says, maybe just to emphasize that nobody additional joined his ranks. Right, he had 600 men back in Perek Yud Gimel, and now whatever it was, a little time later, there were still 600 men. No one else joined the ranks. No one else joined his camp. The Mitzudas Dovin points out that he says that maybe it's to tell us that they were camped in the same place as Shaul, right? Shaul was in this place, Tachas Harimon Asher B'Migron. He was under this pomegranate tree in Migron, and that's where the 600 men were as well. They were stationed with him as well. But the Malbim says there was something else going on here. The fact that there were 600 men, Shaul was scared, right? Remember, the Plishti army is 30,000 strong. And they're camped over there, on the north side of Geva in Michmas. So says the Malbim, Shaul HaMelech, who only had 600 men, he was embarrassed and he was scared. he didn't want to camp right opposite the Plishtim with 600 men. How would that look? They would laugh at him. And he was nervous. So that's why Shaul essentially was hiding a little bit. He was on the other side of Geva, to the south of Geva, closer to this place called Migron. And that's where he was kind of laying low with his 600 men until it was time to fight. When it was time to fight, it was time to fight. But until then, he did not want to be seen with only 600 men against this great Plishti army. Pasuk Gimel. Va'achiyo ben Achituv, Achi Ichavod ben Pinchas ben Eli, Kohen Hashem b'Shilo. So there were the Kohen at that time, his name was Achia. Achia was the son of Achituv, who was the son of Pinchas, who was the son of Eli. Eli, we know, was the Kohen Hashem b'Shilo, right? As the Pasuk says, he was the Kohen Hashem. He was the Kohen Gadol, he was the Shofet. He was the leader at that time when the Mishkan was in Shilo. Now going back to Achia, who was the Kohen now at this time, maybe I guess the Kohen Gadol at this time, he was no say Ephod. He was the one who was wearing the Ephod. The Mefarshim say the Ephod means the apron that had the Choshen and the Urim V'Tumim. V'ha'am lo yada ki halach Yonasan. And nobody knew that Yonasan had gone. Right? Not only did Yonasan not tell Shaul, nobody knew. None of the soldiers knew either. Now what's strange here, in the lineage of Achia, Achia was the Kohen Gadol who was holding the, you know, he was wearing the Urim V'Tumim. So why does it call him the son of Achituv, who was the brother of Ichavod? Why does it list the brother? Just say Achia was the son of Achituv, who was the son of Pinchas, who was the son of Eli. Why are we mentioning the fact that Achituv and Ichavod were brothers? Who cares? Who cares about Ichavod right now? So this question is raised by the Radak. The Radak points out a couple of suggestions. Number one, Ichavod is the only son that has been mentioned so far. We have no mention of Achituv yet in Sefer Shmuel Aleph. Right? Achituv was one of the sons of Pinchas, one of the grandsons of Eli. He was not mentioned yet. Ichavod was mentioned, if you remember, back in Perek Dalet, Ichavod was mentioned because Ichavod was born right after the Aron was captured. So if you remember, his father Pinchas died. Pinchas was not a great person, right? He wasn't following in the ways of his father Eli, so Pinchas died. And then the Aron was captured. And if you remember, Eli heard about the Aron being captured. He fell backwards. He hit his head and he died. And right then, the Pasuk says, the very next Pasuk says that, you know, that Pinchas' wife was in labor. She went into labor and she gave birth to a baby boy and she named him Ichavod, which essentially means lack of honor, lack of kavod, because of everything that had gone wrong for the Jewish people until that point. Pinchas had died, Eli had died, the Aron was captured, so she named him Ichavod. And that's what's mentioned in Perek Dal. That's the last we heard of him. We don't know anything else about Ichavod. Achituv, which was a brother of his, was never mentioned. So the Radak says that maybe since Ichavod at least was mentioned earlier, maybe that's why the Pasuk, you know, traces Achituv, that Achituv was the brother of Ichavod. Ichavod was the one that we've heard about until this point. Another possibility, he says, is maybe to contrast with Ichavod. Because again, Ichavod was named such because of the negative state of the Jewish people at that time. Pinchas died, Eli died, the Aron was captured, the Jewish people were not in a good place, and Hashem was not, so to speak, looking favorably upon Bnei Israel. As opposed to now, when things are good. Right, when things are good, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to, we'll learn about it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to help Yonasan and Shaul defeat the Plishtim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking favorably upon the Jewish people at this point. So maybe that's why it's to contrast Achituv and Ichavod. Ichavod was born at a time when things were very bad. Achituv, which almost his name, you know, sounds his, the brother is good. Right? Achituv, the brother of the good. But it sounds like something is happy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is happy with Bnei Yisrael. Maybe that's why we have the contrast here. It mentions this Kohen, Achia, because he was back in the camp with the Aron. He was wearing the Urim V'Tumim, and of course the Urim V'Tumim would be consulted before going to battle. Now we'll learn about that more in a minute. The Radak says also, maybe we mention this here to show that the curse of the house of Eli hadn't started yet. Remember the curse of the house of Eli, that the people would not live very long, and there wouldn't be longevity, etc. So that only started when Tzadok became the Kohen Gadol later. That didn't start yet, and maybe that's why we mentioned this here, that Achia, who's the great grandson of Eli, is still the Kohen Gadol, and it's still in his lineage. So the curse has not yet begun. The Radak also mentions that there were two groups here. One group was with Yonasan and one group was with Shaul. And that's why at the end of the Pasuk here it says, V'ha'om lo yodaki holach Yonasan. That means even Yonasan's group didn't know. So Yonasan didn't tell anybody that he was going. He didn't tell his father Shaul. He didn't tell the soldiers that were with him. He just went out on his own with his assistant. Now the Malbim again, as Kedarko, as he usually does, reads a little bit more depth into this Pasuk. And he says that this pasuk is also giving the reasons that prove that Yonasan was not intending to attack the Plishtim yet. Number one, he would have informed Shaul. That's what we read at the end of pasuk Beis. The end of pasuk Aleph. Right. So number one, he would have informed Shaul. So he didn't inform Shaul. So you see that he was not intending to attack. Number two, he would have asked the Urim V'Tumim before he attacked. And here we find he hadn't asked the Urim V'Tumim yet. We're just introduced now to Achia, who was wearing the Urim V'Tumim. So he had not yet asked the Urim V'Tumim. So that again proves that he was not intending to attack the Plishtim. And number three, he didn't even tell the soldiers. If he's intending to attack the Plishtim, wouldn't he at least tell the soldiers that were with him, hey guys, let's go. You know, we're going to attack. Get my back. I'll lead the attack, but, you know, back me up. You know, come and reinforce me. He didn't do that. He didn't even tell the soldiers that he was going. So the Malbim says it's abundantly clear from the Psukim here that Yonasan was just going on a scouting mission, was not intending to attack the Plishtim. Pasuk Dalet. Uvein Hamabros Asher Bikesh Yonasan La'avor Al Matzav Plishtim. And between the crossings that Yonasan wanted to cross in order to get to opposite, at least, of the Plishti camp. You know, there were apparently certain crossings, maybe bridges or things that he had to cross. Shein hasela mehaever mizeh, the shein hasela mehaever mizeh. There were these two almost like rock formations or slabs of stone that were jutting out. The Malbim says they were jutting up, towards the sky, and one was closer to Michmas, closer to the Plishti camp, and one was closer to Geva, which was closer to where Yonasan was. There were these two, you know, large rock formations or slabs of rock that were jutting up. Shem v'shem ha'echad botzeitz v'shem ha'echad sene. And they had names. Now, at first glance, this is a very strange pasuk. And here also, pasuk, hey, ha'shem ha'echad matzuk mitzafon mul nichmas. One of the stones was very steep on the north side across from Michmas. And the other one was to the south side, which was across from Geva. Very strange. You know, what are we talking about? These stone rock formations, these slabs of stone. What is this all about? So says the Malbim that this is to show a little bit more of the nace of what's about to happen. Because in order for Yonasan to cross from where he was positioned closer to Geva, across the valley to where the Plishtim were in Michmas, he had to cross over or climb over these two big slabs of stone. Now says the Malbim, what Pasuk Hey is telling us is that the rock closer to Geva was Matsuk. Matsuk means it was steep and smooth. So it was smooth on the northern side, and it was difficult to get down on that side. So you wanted to get to Michmas, it was very hard to get down there. And that's the one on Geva. The one closer to Geva was very hard to go down. And the rock closer to Michmas was smooth on the southern side, and it was very hard to go up. So imagine you have these two stones, right? Yonasan is here and the Plishtim are here. So Yonasan's got to climb up this rock, right? Which was hard, he can get up it. But then it was very difficult to go down this side. And to get up this stone to go towards the Plishtim was very difficult to ascend, very difficult to get up. So it was very challenging for Yonasan to even get to where the Plishtim were getting. So says the Malbim, this is to emphasize the greatness of the miracle, the greatness of the nace that's about to happen. Pasuk Vav, Vayomer Yohanan el Hanar, Nosei Chelav. So Yohanan turns to his assistant, the one who is carrying his weapons, and he says to him, Lecha v'nabra el matzav ha'areilim ha'ele. Let's go cross over to the camp of the Plishtim, of the Areilim, right? Those who are not, do not have a milah. Ula yase l'Hashem lanu. Maybe Hashem will help us. Ki ein l'Hashem matzor l'hoshia b'rav ovim at. Because there's nothing stopping Hashem from being victorious, whether he's going up against a large army or he's going up against a small army. Now, what is this all about? So says the Malbim, until this point, Yonasan was just going to scout. He was just going to check things out. All of a sudden, he's overcome. Yonasan is overcome by this divine spirit, by a Ruach Elokim, says the Malbim, a Ruach Hashem, a Ruach of Gvura, of courage. And all of a sudden, he's gripped with this passion, and he feels the urge to attack the Plishtim. Now keep in mind, Yonasan is alone. Just him and his assistant, the Nar Nosei Chelav, right? There are no soldiers with him. His father doesn't know about this. The other soldiers don't know about it. Nobody knows that he's there. And he all of a sudden feels this divine spirit to go and attack Bnei Yisrael. Now, says Yonasan, there's no way we're going to do this within natural means, right? The two of us cannot take on the Plishti army. It's not going to happen. And that's why he says, Ula yase Hashem lanu. He says, but I feel something. I feel something spiritual. I feel something ruchni. Maybe Hashem is going to help us. Maybe we're going to have a nace, and we're going to be able to defeat the Plishti army, just the two of us. Now, when it comes to physical fighting, says the Malbim, so it's all a matter of who's exerting more force. The one who exerts more force for a longer duration of time is going to win the battle. The one who's exerting less force, or who gives up, you know, some of that force, or weakens, some of their force is weakened, is going to lose the battle. But says the Malbim, when it comes to the Ribono Shel Olam, it has nothing to do with physical force. It has nothing to do, and that's what the Pasuk says. Ki ein l'Hashem matzur l'hoshia b'rav ovi ma'at. To Hashem, it doesn't matter if it's a large army or a small army. It's all the same. Because Hashem is not fighting with physical force. It's not, you know, who's stronger, who has more stamina, who can withstand the battle more. That's not what it is. Hashem fights, it's apples and oranges. It's a whole different ballgame. Kadosh Baruch Hu is not fighting with physical strength. And therefore, he can defeat anyone whenever he wants to, regardless of their strength. So therefore, says the Onasan, what I'm feeling is something ruchni. What I'm feeling is a Ruach Elokim. I'm feeling a Ruach Hashem. So maybe we can defeat these Plishtim. Because it doesn't depend on physical force. You're right. If we're going at it, you know, through natural means with physical force, we have no chance. But if it's something ruchni, if it's something spiritual, HaKadosh Baruch Hu implanted within me this Ruach Elokim, maybe we can defeat them. Nothing to do with Rav Ovi Ma'at. I couldn't help, you know, Baruch Hashem, we're celebrating the Yom Tov of Chanukah. I couldn't help but think, this is the story of Chanukah, exactly the story. Now, I was a little bit, you know, thinking to myself, you know, maybe we should talk about Chanukah tonight and not about the Navi. But here we have both, Efshar L'Kayim Shneim, we can learn Navi, and we talk about the Nes of Chanukah also. This is the nutshell, this is the Nes of the defeat of the Yavanim. Ki ein l'Hashem matzor l'hoshia b'rav ovi ma'at. There's no difference to Hashem, whether it's a large army or a small army. Right, as we say in Al Anisim, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave them Rabbim Biad Me'atim, Tmei Biad Torah, Misharim Biad Tzadikim. It doesn't make a difference. When a Kadosh Baruch Hu decides he wants to win, that's it. Game's over. This is Mamish the Chanukah story. Now, Pasuk says, next Pasuk Zayin. So you can imagine that just imagine for a moment being the Nosei Kalim over here. Imagine being the guy, this young man who's carrying Yonasan's weapons. Right? You think to yourself, you know, is he Meshuggah? Right? It's just the two of us. You know, we're going to go up against the Plishti army, just the two of us. You know, Yonasan, let's go back. Let's at least get the other soldiers in the camp. You know, what's going on over here? And what does he say? Vayomer lo nosei chelav, asei kol asher bilvavecha. Whatever you feel in your heart, let's do it. Netelach, right? You go, Hineni imcha kilvavecha. I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you. Whatever your heart desires, whatever your heart says, that's I'm with you in that. Now the Malbim says this is not a coincidence that the pasuk is talking about the heart. It's not just, you know, whatever your heart desires. But the Malbim says an amazing thing. The Malbim says, you know, think about this. A Jew is not allowed to put themselves in a sakana situation, right? Yeah, you can't just walk across 878 and hope for a nace, hope for a miracle. Ain't some chenal a nace. Right? We're not allowed to rely on nisim. We can't do things that are dangerous and just, you know, hope for the best that Kadosh Baruch Hu will make a nace. It's irresponsible. We have no right to do that. And therefore, the Nar was saying, this young man was saying, you know, we don't really have the right to do that unless you're feeling something special. Unless you're feeling something unique. And as the Malbim says, listen to this, the Malbim says, I'll read the language. He says, unless there's a koach eloki, menia oso, umeorer es libo, bal yefachet. You know, what causes a person not to be afraid? What causes a person not to be afraid? They lose their senses, right? That's what causes a person not to be afraid. Achmana litzlan, a person is mentally not well, so they're not afraid. Right, they don't have a sense of fear. They just do. They do whatever they want. They have no sense of fear, right? And that's why, unfortunately, mentally disturbed people they cause a lot of trouble because they have no sense of fear, no sense of any repercussions of anything, right? People who are delusional, people who are Rachmana Litzlan, you know, their own mind altering substances. They're not afraid of things. They jump, they fly, they do things that a human being can't do. But another way, says the Nar, is if you're gripped with a ruach eloki. If you're gripped with a koach eloki, with a spiritual force, so then also you don't feel fear. Because you recognize it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not me, it's not them. It's not strong versus weak, it's not numbers, it's not 30,000 versus 600. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu versus anybody else. So when you have that koach eloki, as he says, meinia oso, that's what's motivating you, that's what's pushing you. Umeorer es libo, and that's what's invigorating you and arousing your heart. Bal yefached, you're not going to be afraid. So the Nar, he didn't say he was a Meshugana, because the Nar knew Yonasan. And the Nar knew what Madrega Yonasan was on. And he recognized that if Yonasan is saying this, he's not crazy. Yonasan is tapping into some sort of spiritual koach. He's feeling something that I can't feel and I can't see. And that's why he says, Asei kol asher b'levavecha, says the Malbim, listen to this language, Ki halev hu hachoza ha'eloki bi'inyonim gidolin ka'ela. When it comes to big spiritual matters, it's the heart that guides the person. V'ish haruach yucha lismoch al chezion libo bazeh. A man of spirit, a man of God, a person who's close to the Ribono Shel Olam, it's not so much the logical decision here. Yonasan was not deciding, does it make sense to go to battle? Does it not make sense to go to battle? This was not a logical decision. Yonasan felt this in his heart. And a man of God, says the Malbim, a man of Isha Ruach, has the right to rely on his heart, to rely on his lave. And if his lave feels that means he's tapping into something that's there. That means he's tapping into something ruchni, something spiritual. And that means that he has the ability to now do whatever he needs to do. Because again, it's not physical. It's not two versus a whole camp. It's the Ribono Shel Olam. And the Ribono Shel Olam can be victorious against anyone. Pasuk Ches. Vayomer Yehonasan. Yeah.
Does anybody comment that as to who this Nahar is or was?
So I didn't see anything. Again, I don't look at, you know, every single last perush, so I'm not sure. But I didn't see anything. And he's definitely, you know, it seems that he's kept anonymous. There's not much that's said about him except for these conversations, you know, he's the only person that's with Yonasan, so he's the one that Yonasan is talking to. But I didn't see any reference. I didn't see any reference as to who it is. I don't know. Now listen to this. It is fascinating. Vayomer Yehonasan, hinei anachnu ovrim el hanashim v'niglinu aleihem. So Yonasan says, okay, here's the plan. You ready? We're going to go, and we're going to just reveal ourselves to them. Now again, right? Dubis meshuga. Right? You know, if you're thinking about it, doesn't make any sense. But again, Yonasan's not working within the realm of nature. He's working within the realm of Nasir. He's working within the realm of the Ribono Shel Olam. We're going to go and we're going to reveal ourselves. Listen to what he says. And I'm going to make the following, what they call in, I think the art scroll refers to it as an omen. Im kol yomru eleinu, if they say the following, Domu ad hagi'enu aleichem, if they say, the plishtim, if their response, when we, you know, pop out and we say, hey guys, how's it going? If the plishti response is, Domu ad hagi'enu aleichem, you know, wait, sit over there, just wait until we come to you. V'admanu sachtenu v'lo na'ale aleichem. If that's their response, if they tell us to wait until, you know, wait, sit tight over there until we get to you, then we'll know that Hashem is on their side. Then we'll know that their confidence shows that Hashem is on their side, and then we won't go to fight. We're going to go back, and we're going to go back to our camp. However, Pasuk Yud, v'im ko yomru, alu aleinu, but if they say, come on up, come fight us, right, come on up, v'olinu, then says Yonasan to his nar, then we'll go up. Ki nesonam Hashem biyodeinu, v'ze lanu ha'os. Because we know, if they say this, we know that Hashem has given them into our hands. This is the sign. This is our sign. Very interesting. So he makes this, Omni makes this sign. If they say, Domu ad hagienu aleichem, then Hashem's on their side. We're not going to go. But if they say, Alu aleinu, so then we know Hashem is on our side and we can go. The Metzudas David says here that the language of Alu aleinu, right, implies that's a hint to Yonasan that we'll be on top. We're going to rise up and be on top. So you see that their language is hinting to Yonasan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's putting it into their mouths to hint to Yonasan that Yonasan and his man will be successful. The Malbim says that this was all a test to see where's the Hashkachas Hashem. Is the Hashkachas Hashem, is Hashem's divine providence with them? Or is Hashem's divine providence with us? And it depends. If they use these exact phrases that I'm establishing, so then, that'll be the test. Now again, says the Malbim, there are a million things that they could have said. Right? Number one, they could have not responded at all verbally. They could have just attacked them, the Plishtim. Right? Or they could have ignored them. Or they could have said a million other things. But he specifically, Yonasan specifically, mentions these two phrases. And Yonasan is saying, if they respond exactly with these phrases, so then I'll know. These are the key words. These are the key words. And the Malbim says this was a little bit of Ruach HaKodesh here. Right? It was a little bit of Ruach HaKodesh here. Yonasan, again, was gripped by this divine spirit. He's kind of like, you know, he's tapping into the Ruach Eloki, to this Koach Eloki, this divine, you know, spiritual spirit. And therefore, he's able to come up with these things. If they say X, Domu ad hagienu aleichem, we're gonna back off. Hashem is with them. If they say Alu aleinu, then Hashem is with us, and then we're gonna go attack. Now, there's a fascinating radak here on this on these psukim, Tes and Yud. Fascinating radak, a long radak, and the radak says that you know, this reminds us of something. You know, what may be coming to mind, we read just a couple of parshios ago, when Eliezer went to go find a wife for Yitzchak, he went to find Rivka. What did he do? He went to the place where he was supposed to go, to Charan, and what did he say? The girl that comes and gives me a drink, offers me a drink and my camels a drink, that'll be the girl that's right for Yitzchak, right? Sounds like he's doing the same thing. He's establishing a sign. And he's telling the Ribbono Shel Olam, listen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you do this, that'll be the sign that I know that it's true. I know that this is the one for Yitzchak. And essentially, that's exactly what Yonasan is doing here. Yonasan is saying the same thing. He's establishing a sign. When it comes to Yonasan, it's a verbal cue, right? Verbal QA or verbal QB, whichever one they say. And which, depending on how the Plishtim respond, I'll know, should I attack the Plishtim or should I not attack the Plishtim? So it's a very similar thing. And in fact,
this is the same Jonathan that killed the commander, knowing that he only has 600 people. Now he wants to go and do something, waiting for Hashem's signal. I don't blame people for thinking that he was Meshuggah. I mean, what did he kill the commander for in the first place?
Right. Well, again, you know, he killed the Plishti general because the Plishtim were oppressing the Jewish people. So this was, so you know, it was
He only had 600 people, 600 soldiers against 30,000.
Yeah, correct. Well, again, that when he first killed the Plishti governor, then the Plishti were not amassed yet. They weren't camped against the Jews. They camped against the Jews, as a result of that attack. So the numbers weren't there quite yet. But he had to know that the Plishtim had a much larger force and a much larger army than he had. But again, he felt that Hashem was on his side. And he wanted to, he wanted to take matters into his own hands because the Plishtim were oppressing the Jewish people. Here he's trying to figure things out. He's trying to determine, is Hashem on my side or is Hashem not on my side? There's a fascinating, Rabbi,
isn't that like standing in front of a train and saying, no problem, Hashem's going to save me?
Yes, exactly. So which we're not allowed to do. But again, as the Malbim explains, he was gripped with a spiritual spirit that you and I are not generally gripped with. we don't have this divine spirit descend upon us. Now again, some of the people who walk in front of trains think that they have a divine spirit that comes upon them. But again, they're just usually unfortunately not well. But Yonasan was perfectly well. He was perfectly fine. He was really gripped with a divine spirit. He really had a Ruach Elohim that descended upon him. And that's why he was doing this. Now, again, he wasn't just going blindly into it because he's setting up this sign. He's setting up this oath to determine, is Hashem on my side? And therefore, it'll be safe for me to do this and a good idea. Or is Hashem not on my side? In which case, I'm out of here and I'm going to go back to my camp. Right? So he's not just going into it blindly. So there's a fascinating Gemara in Chulin which connects these two stories. And the Gemara says, statement of Rav in Chulin of Daf Tzadihei, Kol Nachash she'eno ke'Eliezer Eved Avram u'ke'Yonasan ben Shaul eino Nachash. Now, Nachash here does not mean snake, but Nachash is like Nichush, which means sorcery. Okay? Any type of sorcery which is not like the sorcery of Eliezer and the sorcery of Yonasan is not real sorcery. That is a very strange statement, a very difficult statement. And the Radak, discusses this at length because we know that Nichush is prohibited. The Torah says, Lo senachashu. You're not permitted to be involved in these kind of superstitious things. The Rashi and Chumash and the Gemara says, if a person says, well, if my bread falls out of my mouth, then I'll know it's not a good sign for something. you're not allowed to take these things as, these negative things that happen as bad signs and positive things that happen as good signs. So what's going on here? How are Eliezer and Yonasan able to establish these signs? Why is this not a violation of Lo Senachashu, of doing Nichush? And he says, in fact, you find other examples. If you remember back in Perek Zion of Sefer Shoftim, we had when it came to Gidon. So Gidon also, there was some sort of a sign, and the pasuk says, "V'shamata ma'idaberu," you'll hear what they have to say, and then "V'achar techazakna," and then you'll get strength, and you'll act based on that sign. Even in this week's parsha, he points out, right? We're mamish connecting everything here. We're connecting Chanukah to Perek Yudalit and Shmuel to this week's parsha, Parshas Miketz. So what does the pasuk say? The pasuk says, in Perek Mem Dalid, with Yosef's goblet. I remember Yosef plants his goblet in Binyamin's sack, and the pasuk says, "Halo ze asher yishte Adoni bo." This is the goblet from which you drink, my master. You drink, v'hu nachesh yinachesh bo. And Yosef used it. It sounds like for nichush, for sorcery, right? A few psukim later, pasuk tesvav. Pasuk says again, Yosef says, "Halo yidatim, do you not know? Ki nachesh yinachesh ish asher kamoni, that I practice sorcery with this cup." In Malachim Aleph, we have a pasuk also talks about people that are yinachashu. So how can it be? How can you have people that are doing nichush and yet the Torah says lo senachashu, that you're not allowed to do nichush, you're not allowed to violate nichush? What's this all about? So the Radak says there's a difference between different types of nichush. He says the nichush that the Torah prohibits is nichush where you're trusting and attributing powers to these signs and to these omens. So a person's bread falls out of his mouth, and you say that's a, you know, that that's, there's some sort of a power there. There's some sort of a koach in the bread falling out of the mouth that makes me unsuccessful. When you believe in them, and you believe that there are powers here, that there are other, whether it's black magic or dark magic or, you know, these sorcery powers here, to these omens, to these signs, that's what's a problem. However, to establish your own signs and to say to the Ribbono Shel Olam, listen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you do X, then I'll know it's true. I'll know, you know, I'll go to battle. If you do Y, I won't go to battle. So that's not something that violates Nichush. You're not saying that these things have powers in and of themselves. Everything comes from the Ribbono Shel Olam. You're believing in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're just asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help give you a sign what the right thing to do is. That's okay. You're allowed to do that. And he says, we find, you know, like we said, we find Eliezer Eved Avram did that, right? We find Yonasan did it, right? That's the idea. He says, we find Amoraim also doing it, that Amoraim in the Gemara. So what does it mean? What does Rav mean that any Nichush that's not like Eliezer and not like Yonasan is not proper Nichush? So he means it has to be from the outset. It can't be that you see something and then you're attributing some sort of a power to it and say, oh, that's a sign of X, Y, and Z. It has to be that you say it from the outset. Both Eliezer and Yonasan, they both established the sign before it happened. Eliezer said, if the girl gives me a drink and my camels a drink, I'll know this is the right one. Yonasan says, if they respond X, I'll know not to go to battle. If they respond Y, I'll know to go to battle. So they're establishing the signs in advance, and they're saying to the Ribbono Shel Olam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give us a sign what to do. That's okay. That's not Nichush. You're not attributing any powers. You're not attributing any kind of emunah belief in some sort of black magic or sorcery. It's all the Ribbono Shel Olam. You're just asking him to give you signs. That's fine. If it's not at the outset, says the Radak, so then it's only a valid simon, it's only a valid os if it happens three times. And he says there's another allusion in this week's parsha. It's fascinating. In this week's parsha in Perek Membeis, so again, Yaakov's, the whole story with Yaakov and the sons going down to Mitzrayim. So Yaakov says to his sons, Vayomar Alehem Yaakov Avihem, Osi Shikaltem. He says, you're cutting me off. Yosef Enenu, Yosef's no longer here. They sold Yosef, right, in Parshas Vayeshev. Shimon Enenu, Shimon is no longer here, because remember, Shimon was imprisoned in Mitzrayim. Ves Binyamin Tikachu. And now you're going to take Binyamin, the third son? Alai hayu chulana. I can't do it. So says the Radak, what's the three? Yosef, Shimon, and Binyamin. That if the three of them went, if the three sons had left Yaakov, and Yaakov was left bereft of these three sons, Yaakov says that would be a simon, that would be a sign that something is not good. Right? Osi shikaltem, alai hayu chulana. I have all these curses upon me if I have these three signs. This was not something Yaakov established at the outset. Not like Eliezer, not like Yonasan. He didn't say at the outset, if this, then this, if X, then, you know, then this, if Y, then that. He didn't say that. But since it was three sons that he thought he was going to lose, so he said, that's a sign, that's an os. So very interesting, you know, because, you know, it's a fine line a little bit between the lo senachashu, what you're not allowed to do in terms of sorcery, and what we find Yosef, Yaakov, Eliezer, Yonasan, and even some of the Amoraim in the Gemara, looking for signs and establishing signs for things to, as a sign of the Ratzon Hashem. Okay, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayigalu shneim el matzav plishtim. So what happens? Yonasan and the Nar, they reveal themselves to the Plishti camp. Vayomru plishtim, hine ivrim yotzim min achorim asher yischabu shav. You know, the Plishtim are looking, they say, it looks like some Jews are coming out of their hiding spots. Right? The Mitzudas David says, if you remember in Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Vav, it said that the Jews got so scared they all went and hid in some of the caves. So the Mitzudas David says, you know, the Plishtim are looking, it looks like some of the Jews are coming out of their caves, coming out of their hiding spots. It says the Malbim, they weren't scared because they knew these were the cowardly Jews, these were the scared Jews, the ones that were hiding. Right? So they didn't want to go after them. You know, they're not afraid of them. So what do they say? They look out and they say, Alu Eleinu, come up. come up to us, like come and get us, right? They said it in, says the Mitzudas David. They said it in a mocking way, you know, come and get us. The Mitzudas David said, who's talking here? Because it says Matzava instead of Matzav. He says this was the generals talking. Some say it was the generals. The Radak says maybe it was the guards. Maybe it was, you know, just the camp as a whole kind of sending this message. But they said it in a mocking way. Alu Eilenu. Now, if you remember, Alu Eilenu, that was the sign that Yonasan established that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would be communicating that Hashem was on Yonasan's side and Yonasan should go attack. So Yonasan hears those words. Alu Eilenu. V'nodia eschem davar. So they're saying, come on up, you know, we'll tell you something. We have something to tell you. Hayomer Yonasan alnosei chelov, alei acharai. Yonasan says, let's go. Let's go. Follow me. Ki nasonam Hashem biyad Yisrael. Hashem has given them into the hands of the Jewish people, into the hands of Bnei Yisrael. Now again, keep in mind, says the Malbim, he came not intending to do battle. He came intending just to scout. But he's gripped with this Ruach Elokim. He gives a sign to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him the green light. He gives him the thumbs up. Go for it. Yonasan says, let's go. And he takes his man with him. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayal Yonasan al Yadov v'al Raglov. Yonasan gets on his hands and knees. Now, what's he getting on his hands and knees? Some Mefarshim say a few different understandings here. Rashi says it means he went quickly with all of his strength. The Radak suggests that also. But then the Radak says, remember, we talked about the rocks and the slabs of stone being very smooth. He needed his hands and his legs to steady himself, to make sure that he wouldn't slip and fall, to support himself in order to climb. This was a difficult climb. As the Malbim says, this was a nace, that he was even able to scale these stones, you know, up and down. And what happened? But he did it. Vayiplu lifnei Yonasan. Yonasan, they reached the camp, and the men started falling. Yonasan attacked, and the men started falling. As Yonasan attacked them, Venosei chelav mimoseis acharav. Yonasan would go with the first blow. He would injure them, and then the nar came behind him, and he would finish the job. Whoever was still alive, he would kill them. He would just kill them off. Pasuk Yudalad, Vatehi hamaka. I'm sorry. One interesting thought here. The Malbim says that Yonasan caught this group completely by surprise. Why? Because the Plishtim never thought that anybody would be able to scale these stones. So the Plishtim, you know, see the Jews and they tell the Jews to come up. The Plishtim were waiting in ambush by the road. You know, there was a road around the stone to get to where the Plishtim were camped. That's where they were waiting. That's where they expected to come. All of a sudden, Yonasan scales this stone and comes down and catches them by surprise. Not only that, but he says he catches them in the middle of the camp. The special armed forces, right, the real heavy artillery, was on the side. Yonasan came down in the middle where the soldiers were not as heavily armed, and he just wiped them out. Pasuk Yudalad, Vatehi hamaka harishona shehika Yonasan v'nosei chelav ke'esrim ish kevachatzi ma'anot semed sada. So within this small area, which the Pasuk describes as a space about, you know, the tzemet sadeh, the Mefarshim say, is like the furrows that the plow digs into the ground. So about a half a furrow. That's a small expanse of land. We're talking about a small area. And there were 20 men in that small area. You would think that Yonasan would not be able to defeat them. And if Yonasan was attacking one, the others would gang up. And they would all defeat him. But even though it was in this small area and there were 20, you know, plishtim against Yonasan and his nar, they were still able to defeat them. This was the first phase, the Makar Rishona, that they were able to do, and we're going to see there's going to be more. Pasuk Tezvav, Vatehi Charada B'machane. So what happens? Fear grips the camp. They don't know what hit them. Basada Uvachol Ha'am Hamatzav Hamashchis. All the soldiers, all the Plishti soldiers, whether the regular foot soldiers, the heavily, you know, the special forces, the heavily armed soldiers, Charadu Gamhema, they were all petrified. Vatirgaz ha'aretz, it's like the ground was shaking. Vatihi lecherdas elokim. This was a miraculous fear. There's no reason for them to be afraid. They didn't see anything, right? In fact, says the Malbim, you know, had Yonasan attacked straight on, the Plishtim would have seen that there was only two guys here. They wouldn't be very scared. But here, they didn't know what hit them. All of a sudden, they see body parts flying, and they see people getting killed, and it creates pandemonium in the camp, and everybody starts running. They don't know what's going on. They don't know what happened. Normally, also says the Mitzudas David, then here the general and the special forces, those guys don't get scared. They're the bravest, most courageous soldiers. But here even they got scared. Everyone was petrified. Last pasuk we'll do tonight, Tesayin, Vayiru Atzofim v'shol b'givas Binyamin, v'hinei ha'amon namog v'yelech v'halom. So all of a sudden, Shaul scouts, you know, Shaul has these scouts that are looking out. So Shaul scouts see something's going on in the Plishti camp. Right? Remember, Yonatan did not, he didn't tell Shaul where he was going. So all of a sudden, he sees something's going on in the Plishti camp. And they see, you know, that looks like a crazy, like pandemonium, looks like chaos over there. And everybody's running every which way. The Malbim says they call it Hamon because Hamon implies disorder. Usually an army camp is very orderly. But once there's fear, and once they, you know, once they attack and there's fear, then the army camp disbands. And then it just dissolves into chaos. Everyone's running in all directions. No one knows what's going on. That's what Shaul and his men saw, what was happening. And that's what Yonasan and his one man, just Yonasan and the Nar, were able to do. Okay, we'll stop here for tonight. It's a long perek, so it might take us three shiurim to do this perek.